Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I have a really kind of a eclectic show today. I want to let people know about the Jewish tradition coming up, the holy day of Passover. We're going to talk about the Eagles band with a guy who's been a part of the Eagles band since he was in high school, I think, or maybe grammar school or preschool. I don't know. But he's been a musician. I do these shows to educate. And I mean that sincerely. I think there'd be a lot less friction in the world if we understood each other and talked to each other and not tried to, you ready? Kill each other. So anyhow, that's my thing. I've caught some grief in the past, but I got broad shoulders and no hair. So what are you going to do to me? So without further, the guy you see, the good-looking guy who has hair, his name is Josh Cutler, longtime friend. His mom and I grew up in the same neighborhood, the same Catholic school. And his dad, I've known the family probably, and his aunt is, his uncle and I were the nemesis of St. Charles. We won't go into that grammar school. Josh, good morning, and thank you for doing this.
Good morning, Bill. My pleasure. Thanks for having me, as always. Nice
well, you
to
know,
be here.
One of the shows we got the most feedback on, positive feedback, was the one we did this past Christmas and Hanukkah, because the Christmas Eve and Hanukkah came together on the same night. And that doesn't happen very often. I had Josh on to talk about Hanukkah, just in kind of an FYI. Josh was raised in both churches. His mom was Roman Catholic at St. Charles. His dad was Jewish. And so he's got a really good grasp of both religions. And I was surprised at the feedback, how people they enjoyed the show and they thanked us for doing it.
Well, you know, Bill, it's interesting too, just to see how times have changed over the years. You know, back when my parents got together in the early 1980s, interfaith families and interfaith marriage was certainly nowhere near as prevalent as it is now. No. And so, and things have changed for a number of reasons. And so it's often helpful for somebody who's been through that and juggled both ends of it to kind of share their experiences with families that are just starting out now too, or people who are just are trying to navigate new things. So I'm happy to be a resource for anybody who falls that way.
And the other thing too, is I think, as I said, and I can repeat myself because I'm in my late 70s, you'll get there and you'll repeat yourself, but we learn through understanding each other, not hitting each other over the head with a baseball bat. And I've had people on this show that I wouldn't necessarily probably have dinner with, but they have a right. They had a right to be heard. And right. I said when I first started this endeavor many years ago, it's okay to disagree, but I will never tolerate disagreeability. So. And I, fortunately, when I used to do a call-in show, it's the only time I had people disagreeing with me, and they were pretty vehement.
And gratefully, I think I avoided the call-in shows for you. So
yeah, you were lucky. I don't know what I was thinking. But then I got my senses. But Josh, Passover goes back to the beginning of time, just about, with the Jewish religion.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, it's a story that's gone on for centuries, and we continue to keep telling that story every year around this time of year. The Jewish calendar falls on the lunar calendar, so some years Passover may fall on March 27th. In this year, the first night of Passover falls on April 12th. Some years it might be around April 20th. So it just depends on how the lunar calendar falls. But Passover is one of it's considered a relatively major holiday in the Jewish tradition. I would say does not quite go quite like the Jewish New Year. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are the two major holidays in the Jewish faith. And Passover is considered sort of one of the next level, as is Hanukkah, as we spoke about a couple of months ago. But yeah, so, and Hanukkah or Passover is, can be celebrated both in the synagogue, but largely is celebrated as a home tradition.
Right.
So many families, particularly on the first two nights of Passover, will have what they call a home Seder. The word Seder means order. So there are many prescribed elements of how a Seder is conducted. You will often see a Seder plate on the center of the Passover table, and each of the foods on the Seder plate are representative of some sort of tradition from the original story of Passover. But this year, my synagogue, Temple on Shemunim, typically celebrates as a community on the second night of Passover. This year, we are flip-flopping the Jewish due to kosher cooking regulations. We will be hosting the first night community Seder this year, and the Jewish Federation will be hosting the second night at Knesset Israel. Typically in the Reform tradition, which I am raised in, we observe 7 days and seven nights of Passover. Conservative and Orthodox traditions observe eight nights. I being Reform, I do seven. And the most notable observance, aside from holding a Seder during that period, is that those who are observant will not eat products that are leavened during that period. So rather than eating bread or things that come from the bread family, we eat a food called matzah, which is cooked for 18 minutes. There's no yeast in it, so it's just a flat. Some may describe it as type cardboard, but for those of us who have eaten it for many, many years, we find it good. Yeah. Actually, many people like to eat it year round, not just including myself. It's readily available at virtually every grocery store year round, but some of the they're flavored as well. So some of the best flavored matzahs come out around Passover time. So, but for me, Passover has always been, secular or not, my favorite holiday of the year. It always has been. My family's had a number of different Passover traditions, but when I was a child, we always went to Boston to visit my dad's older sister, and we would have Seders with about 30 or 35 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And in the Reformed tradition, our Seder is, you know, about 45 minutes or so until you get ready to eat. But those were incredible, because that was the original times that I heard the story of Pesach. Pesach is how it's said in Hebrew. The original times that I heard the story told, it was a time that I got to be together with my cousins. And many people know that I'm a baseball fan too. It's the spring. So Passover represents so many different things to me, but it always represented the ending of winter, the coming of spring, being together with my family, eating some really, really good food. And it's grown over the years as well. Now that I have my own son, I'm sort of carrying the same traditions. We have Passover Seders here in Pittsfield with my family. We every year we also join our community to do the Seder as well. There's so many wonderful traditions involved with this holiday, and just one of my favorite times of the year.
Well, I what I like about what you and your family, for as long as I've known them, have done is you celebrate, maybe isn't the right word, but you acknowledge and you come together as family, just as we do. The Polish people call Christmas Eve Vigilia or Valia, and it's a big coming together. And to me, in today's day and age, Families need that. Kids need that. Kids need to have tradition. You know, I'll start singing and that'll end this interview because the Sean's already cautioned me, the FCC and my singing. But what you do and why, and again, for people just turning in, this is an important show. We're going to talk about Passover. We're going to follow it up with Easter. I mean, Easter's a big deal for Christians, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Passover is a great tradition. And Josh will correct me if I'm wrong, but the angel who came and put painted blood on the house, the devil passed. You're probably more versed in it than I am.
And but you know it falls around the same time as Easter too, and I love Easter as
Yeah.
well. So it's while the holidays aren't necessarily similar by the stories that they're told, again, it's just for me, it's always just being together with family, and we always get together with family with Easter too. And let me tell you too as well, my mother's side of the family that was not Jewish has always been part of our Passover Seders too. I mean, I remember a number of them that Uncle Frank was part of as well, and was open to the food, open to the tradition. But again, it's as you mentioned before, there's a certain you know, there's a certain virtue of being able to understand other people's traditions and participate and embrace that, because you know, all of us are different, and that's okay.
And that is okay. I mean, the world's a little goofy now. But there's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of vengeance. There's a lot of all kind. And you know, I have to tell you, I don't have any time for it. You know, the only thing I have left in life is time, and I don't waste time arguing about who's the president, who isn't, or who should have been. To me, the election's been had, the winner's been declared. Let's go on and do the best we can for each other. Because we're all in this together. Nobody's above or below anybody else, in my opinion. And by the way, I need to say, in the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, Pittsfield School Committee, Mayor Marchetti in the mayor's office, Pete White in the city council, or everybody that brought their bike to get it ready for summer to the bike shop today. I saw you all over there. But now you made a good point about family. It is a family tradition. And the other point you made, it's religious, but it's not the high holy days. Is that correct?
That's correct. The High Holy Days, the two major holidays in the Jewish faith where your butt's in the seat is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year, and Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement, which is really like the most high holy day of all, where we apologize for our sins for the previous year and try to have our name sealed in the book of life. But those holidays typically fall sometime in September or early October, again based on the lunar calendar. So
Right.
you know,
That's
so
a good point.
it's
Thank you for bringing that out.
yeah. So there's a number of other holidays. There are three other holidays in the Jewish faith that are considered important. One is Sukkot, the holiday of the harvest festival, which is about 2 weeks after the High Holy Days. So that's generally celebrated sometime in the middle to late October. Hanukkah, which we've mentioned before, which falls. It's actually there was a number of years ago where it coincided with Thanksgiving, but again, the beginning of it just depends on the calendar. And then Passover as well, which is can start as early as the last week of March, or as late as mid to late April. So this year we're kind of somewhere in the middle of the first night of Passover this year will fall on Saturday, April 12th.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I mean, there are other holidays that are sort of sprinkled in as well, which we celebrate as well. There's a holiday right around the end, right around with Sukkot, in the end of October, called Simchat Torah, which represents the end of our cycle of Torah reading and what we actually do during in the sanctuary. That is a synagogue-based holiday. If we have enough people in the sanctuary, we will unroll the Torah scroll
Wow.
with, we'll have 40 or 50 people if we can get it, sometimes even more.
Yeah.
And everybody will hold a piece. We'll unroll it around the sanctuary, and
Wow.
then our rabbi or spiritual leader tends to go around to the Torah, and will point out some of the most important readings. They will show where it starts. They'll show where some of the holidays are referenced. They'll show where the Ten Commandments fall,
Wow.
and then we will re-roll the scroll so that we start again from the beginning, from Bereshit, which is the first book of the Torah, and being one of the taller and stronger members of the congregation, I often am delegated the task of re-rolling the scroll with
Lucky you.
my arms. So it's it's an honorable
Five
duty, but
thousand years of paperwork rolled into one.
exactly. And you have to be very careful with the scroll
Oh.
as well because of the type of ink that it's written with. It's something that can smudge really, really easily.
Wow.
Again, the
Wow.
parchment is very very fragile as well. So you really have to be careful with how you touch it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of history with some of the scrolls that we have, particularly at my congregation. We have one scroll that dates back to the Holocaust that was on permanent loan from a congregation in England.
Wow.
That was yeah, that was procured sometime in the mid-1980s. By Rabbi Alan Berg, who used to
Yeah.
serve my temple, and also the late Joel Greenberg, who was our president at the time and a notable attorney in the community.
Yes, he was.
And the Torah scrolls also have incredible covers stitched that were created in the early 1990s by the women of Reform Judaism of our congregation. All of our Torah scrolls were hand stitched by dozens of women in the temple, and they were designed by a former member, Jonathan Nix, who is a notable artist in the Boston area, but also has a part-time home in Beckett and was a member of the congregation. And Jonathan designed all of the scroll covers that you see in our ark today that we still use. Yeah, so 30 years after they were created. It's really remarkable when you see just how much detail went into those. So
Yeah, and I also think it's remarkable too that congregations come together to celebrate these, and you have a young son, you bring, and to me, with my work, and I will reminisce a little bit back to violent, working with violent youthful offenders in a confinement. They were confined in a penitentiary. No core. And I think, what does religion give us? Whether you practice it wholeheartedly or it gives you that core. And I don't look to say whose religion is right or wrong. I'm not going to judge that. That's as I used to tell people, that's over my pay grade.
no, but I tend to believe that, whether you're Jewish or Catholic or Muslim or practice anything
Right.
else, it gives you a stronger, in my belief, a great sense of values. And so,
Yeah.
I always know, if somebody is participatory in a synagogue, in a church, in an organization, I know that the values that person are
Yeah.
good because they understand that there is something more than just the person. And a big part of the synagogue and churches is the sense of having community,
Exactly. Exactly.
having other people, having, often like-minded people,
Yeah.
but not necessarily, but people who want to be together. I'm somebody who strongly values the importance of tradition.
Yeah, I do too.
Many people who listen to this program know that I am a fourth generation Pittsfield native. My son is now the fifth generation. And with all the organizations that I belong to, I really value the importance of keeping tradition alive. The synagogue that I belong to, Temple on Shamunim, has existed in Pittsfield since 1869. So wow. This is going to be our 156th year of being in existence. And we've been affiliated with the Reform Movement since 1904. And, you know, Knesset Israel, our conservative neighbor down the street, has a similar lineage as well. Yeah. And there's, you know, there's a long history of the Jewish tradition in Pittsfield, and Jewish neighborhoods as well.
That's right.
For, you know, back when my grandparents were born in the 1920s, the neighborhood, Robbins Avenue, Linden Street, Dewey Avenue, that's where my grandparents were born. Yeah. And that was the Jewish neighborhood. There was a number of synagogues.
Hegel Schmidt's Market.
Yeah. The building on Linden Street, which was most recently the AME Zion Church. Yeah. That was the Orthodox synagogue for many years. And that was where my grandparents got married. A number of my father's cousins had their bar mitzvahs there. On Robbins Avenue, for many years up until the 1990s, Avath Shalom, the Orthodox synagogue, was located there. And believe it or not, the burial society for Avath Shalom still does exist today.
Yeah.
They own a small cemetery plot out on Outer Churchill Street that a number of people that were connected to that shul still maintain. Still operate. There are a small amount of burials. There's a couple of prominent people in the community who do still give their time and efforts to keep that burial society alive. But but again, you know, again, there's a long, long tradition of Judaism in Pittsfield. And I, you know, my grandfather was the treasurer of the temple for many years. My father was involved. My great grandfather was involved. I take a lot of pride and continuing the Cutler name and being involved and trying to continue these traditions for years to come. I'm also involved with the Jewish Federation as well. I'm currently the treasurer of their board of trustees. So again, another critical organization that raises money to for organizations both in Berkshire County and overseas as well. I mean, this Jewish community is extremely generous with providing funds for causes overseas in Israel, for other cultural crises that happen from time to time. And it's amazing just to see the breadth of things that are done out of this Jewish community.
And the thing is that while there's different temples or synagogues, collectively, they're Jewish. I mean, maybe that's just my simplistic mind. There's Reform and there's Orthodox and there's, what's the other one?
Conservative. So in Berkshire County, we're blessed to have representation from all. We have three Reform synagogues, one in Pittsfield on Shamunim, one in North Adams, Congregation Beth Israel, which has had a long tenure. And then Hevra of Southern Berkshire serves Great Barrington, which is the largest shul in Berkshire County. We have the conservative Knesset Israel, which is just down the street from us on Colt Road in Pittsfield. Again, a very long tenured congregation as well that serves 365 days a year, every day.
Yeah.
We also have Chabad as well, the Chabad house that's on South Street. They believe they're getting ready to open their new home in the center of Lenox fairly soon. But Rabbi Volovic has been in Pittsfield for over a couple of decades now with his family and his continually growing family.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And we also have a Reconstructionist synagogue, which is somewhere between Reform and conservative, but that congregation is Avath Shalom in Great Barrington, which operates out of a small little home in Great Barrington, but again has been around for many decades. And their most recent rabbi, Barbara Cohen, Was our spiritual leader at Anshe for a number of years in cantorial soloist, and recently retired from her post, but continues to live in Berkshire County and serve as a rabbi.
And again, just kind of letting you brought out a good point. The only is that I'm trying to get this out properly so we don't, but the Jewish faith recognizes female rabbis.
Yes.
Yeah, and
Re
there it
re
is.
ref re reform, reform or conservative and Reconstructionist. We all of our all of the synagogues in Berkshire County, though the Reform, Reconstructionist and conservative, we all have had female rabbis within the past couple of decades.
Cool. Yeah,
And
and I, you know, I said that for no other reason than I wanted to let people know that the whole purpose of today's show, in my mind, and a lot of you know, I do have a mind. It's on file, but I have it. Is break down barriers. Let people hear. You know, Passover, we read about it in the Christian. From Bible readings, we'll hear about it. But the Jewish people, it's an event, it's a holiday for them. It maybe is it that fair to say holiday?
and it's a happy one too, yes.
And there's how about the foods now? Are the foods certain foods like you said matzah?
Yeah, so on the Seder plate, there's a number of pieces of food that represent different parts of the Passover story. So matzah is part of that. Matzah represents, as they're trying to have the Exodus, they just don't have enough time to bake bread, so they make
Right.
an unleavened bread. There is something called Zeruah, which is a shank bone, and that represents the Paschal lamb. We also have an egg on the Seder plate.
That was what
Again,
I remember from my neighbor, Sam Lenhoff. There was an always an egg.
yep. We also have bitter herbs, which represents slavery. So that's part of it. We have charoset, which it's like a mortar. It's almost like the bricks used by the Israelites.
Oh, cool.
And there's karpas, which is like it's usually parsley. Again, being a spring holiday, is intended to represent that time of year.
Yeah.
Now, it's not necessarily prescribed, but on modern Seder plates, you'll often see people incorporate oranges. And as we mentioned before with female rabbis, the orange is meant to represent the inclusion of women.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Cool.
So that has been a part of my family's tradition for many years and is a growing tradition, certainly in the Reform movement, but others as well. And so I actually, my mother was the person who brought that to my attention, and now I certainly recognize it and continue that in her memory.
Yeah, and I just want to just say to folks that are tuning in, we're going to talk a little bit more in the second hour about the same thing. We're about Passover, but we're also going to talk about all the things that the Eagles band does. And Josh will tell you, I'm a big promoter of the Eagles band. It's always a wonderful event, a wonderful concert, and we do this. I do shows like this a lot just to bring people to into a different world. I posted something today about Shakespeare and Company. They're having a
Yeah,
thing.
Macbeth tomorrow at the library.
Yeah. Actually, you missed it because this we're filming this on Saturday, but
Oh,
they had the show on
right.
Sunday. But this will air next week. But the thing is this. The more we can learn about others, and the more we can open our minds to say, "Oh, I'd never go to a live play." Well, you don't know what you're missing. And we have them here. We have Shakespeare. We have Berkshire Theater Group. We have Barrington State. We have wonderful high school productions.
And don't forget the town players as
Our
well.
town players as well. Yeah, thank you for that.
Yep.
But we'll be back in just a minute. I do want to ask you to please stay tuned. This is, to me, is an important show because it's about people. It's in how people believe, and they may believe differently, but they're still people, and they deserve your respect. This is 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And we are also broadcasting at 88.1 FM down there in Southern Berkshire. And by the way, this is PCTV 2. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Struggling with technology? Can't find reliable information online? Ready to toss your phone? PCTV is here to help. From filtering emails to making video calls, our free digital navigation services have you covered. Visit us at 4 Federico Drive, Pittsfield, or call 413-445-4234. Our friendly navigator will help you step by step, even if you don't know where to start. Brought to you by PCTV and the Alliance for Digital Equity, bridging the digital divide one connection at a time.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hey, we're back. The good-looking guy you see there, his name is Josh Cutler. And he's helping me today to discuss the Jewish tradition of Passover. And we're also going to talk about his second love, or third love, or 12th love, or whatever, the Eagles Band. He's been a member of it for a very long time. They have a season coming up that's going to be phenomenal. And I wanted to get everybody early on to let them know about it. But even Christians understand Passover. In the history of Passover, President Trump, I'm busy right now. I'll call you back. Guys. Hello?
You're in demand.
Hey, Skelly, can you talk?
No, I'm doing a live Zoom show. I'll call you right back.
Okay, sounds.
Sorry about that. It wasn't the president. I thought it was. And I thought I ended the call. Anyhow, the tradition of Passover. If you could just go over that again, Josh, that would be very helpful. And then we'll talk again this later.
The Passover this year begins on Saturday, April 12th, and the sunset of that evening, a holiday that's going to stretch for those who observe it in the Reformed tradition for 7 nights. And conservative and Orthodox will be 8 nights. But again, a holiday that's rooted to recall the Exodus from Egypt. We often have a Seder during the holiday. Can be a home-based holiday, but in Pittsfield, we have many different ways to observe as a community. Temple on Shia Munim, the congregation that I belong to, is hosting a first night Passover Seder this year on Saturday, April 12th. It's going to be at 6:30 p.m.
Okay.
At the temple, again, open to those who are looking for somewhere to go. The Jewish Federation will be hosting their second night Seder on Sunday, April 13th. I believe that's also going to be held at 6:30. That will be held at Congregation Knesset Israel on Colt Road, and reservations for either can be made either through the temple office for the first night Seder or through the Jewish Federation for the second night. But again, you know, usually the first two nights there is some sort of communal celebration available.
Yeah.
And then oftentimes families will do one other at home as we do. Again, there's a lot of different foods that commemorate different pieces of the story.
Yeah.
My favorite that we haven't mentioned yet is something called gefilte fish. It might not necessarily be part of the story, but it's still something that's eaten during the Seder. It's kind of an amalgam of a lot of different types of foods put together in a patty. It's either you really like it or you really don't, I think most people find. And I will say we also have horseradish as part of our
I was going to ask you about that, because I can remember as a kiddo, just an aside, the St. Charles Youth Group, under the leadership of Father Thomas Lowen, who's passed, got us invited to a Seder when we were teenagers. And I'm going to say an eye-opening experience it was.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, and it really is if you haven't been to one before. And one thing that we like to do at the temple for our Seders is we like to bring in other people from the community as well. We've had a number of relationships with interfaith congregations like Church on the Hill. We had a relationship with them for a number of years. We had one with First Baptist Church with Reverend Sheila for many years as well.
Great lady.
Yes. And certainly wishing her well as she retires.
Yeah.
But we also have a great relationship with the city of Pittsfield as well. And so, Mayor Marchetti is going to be coming to the Seder this year.
Oh, wow.
We've often had a number of other local dignitaries who want to be a part of it as well. And at the same time, understand our traditions as well. And, Mayor Marchetti has come for a number of years. I hope to get him to try the horseradish again this year. I know it's his favorite part of the Seder.
Yeah. that horseradish will stand your hair up.
But again, in times like these where, there's a lot of challenging things going on in this world, it's really great to be supported by the leaders in our community who want to see us thrive as well. So we're very deeply, deeply appreciative of those who come celebrate the holiday with us.
Yeah. And I would say, before you harbor hatred for anybody, check out your own religion, because I'm not sure your religion says that it's okay to hate. I know mine doesn't.
No, we have as part of the Jewish Federation of the Berkshires, which I'm part of, we have a campaign that we just started recently over the last few months called Hate Has No Home Here. And so you may have seen billboards or signs around the community. Again, that's something that we espouse very passionately. We believe that hate has no place here or anywhere.
If you want, let's talk off air. Let's put another show together with some of the other folks.
Gladly.
I think we should. I feel a passion to do that.
Absolutely.
Where the Christians are headed towards Easter, right now we're in Lent, and I've given up everything at least once. But I do these shows, again, I repeat myself, for understanding we're all the same, even though we may do some things differently. We're all humans. Our feet are all made of clay. Believe me when I tell you. If I had a dollar for every time that I stumbled, I'd be a gabillion. I'd be Elon Musk. But I'd make him look poor. But so now we got, let's go, let's get on and liven it up a bit. The Eagles band, man. How long have you been a member?
I've been a member of the Eagles band organization since 2012. So I've been in the band for 13 years now, but I've been playing music. My instrument is a tenor saxophone. I've been playing since 2001. So this makes 24 years that I've been playing this instrument. And, again, it's a longstanding community organization in the Berkshires. We have existed in Pittsfield since 1936.
Wow.
So our,
I remember him as a kid.
Yes. Yeah, so our lifespan is exactly the same as the Highland Restaurant. I like to say, and we practice just around the corner there too. Every Monday night, we practice year round too. We're an organization. We start in the second week of January, and we will continue through our holiday performance in the middle of December. We rehearse every Monday night from 7 to 9 at the First United Methodist Church. We have a group of musicians who have. They represent the entire spectrum of ages. We have people as young as 12 that are in the band, and the oldest are in their early 90s.
Wow. Well,
so, you know, one of the big parts of our organization is that we want to represent the people that you can play music in middle school and high school, and that's great, but you don't have to stop.
You're right.
I first thought I had to stop. And when I went to college, I didn't play for a number of years. I stopped for about 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
And when I came back home, I knew of the Eagles, but didn't know exactly the breadth of the organization. Learned about it through through my late wife, who had been a member of the band since she was in middle school. And that sort of signaled to me, okay, Josh, it's time to pick up your saxophone again and maybe try doing this. So in September of 2012, I did just that. I joined the band. And at that point, we probably had about 45 or 50 players. Today in the spring of 2025, we now have about 70.
Wow.
We've grown significantly throughout the years, you know, largely due to the conductor that we've had, Carl Jenkins, who's been with us for a little over a decade, who's done a tremendous job to grow the band. Also, it's a testament to the strength of the leadership as well.
Yeah.
We've also, you know, built some strong community partnerships as well. We have a great relationship with the Pittsfield Cultural Council, who support us for a number of programs that we do. The Pittsfield Parks Department as well. We've had a great partner in Jim McGrath, because we do a number of shows throughout the summer at Springside Park. We play at the Common as well. I've seen you at those before.
Yeah.
And we've also built relationships with other local foundations as well. Some of the foundations with the banks, the Feigenbaum Foundation, all of whom strongly support the arts and want to see us thrive. So, you know, we've built an organization that is going to continue as long as it can to bring music and cultural enrichment to the Berkshires and beyond. We not only do we play in Pittsfield, but we play all areas of Berkshire County and also into New York as well. We've created some relationships with the town of Berlin, the town of Copake. So some of their smaller ensembles will travel there. We have a new tradition that we've done the last several years of performing in the Memorial Day parade in the town of Lee. They've asked us to do that. We don't march anymore, but they provide us with a flatbed truck so that we can play for the parade down that comes down the center of Lee. It's been a pleasure for me to be part of the organization for the last 13 years. And now, as we speak right now, we're getting ready for the meat of our season. The band that I play in, the concert band, we're going to be having our spring concert on Sunday, May 4th. It's going to be at 3 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church. And, But also the stage band that we have, the group that plays a lot of the music from 30s, 40s and 50s, some of those swing tunes, they're going to be having their own concert coming up on Saturday, April 5th. at 3 o'clock. That'll also be at the First United Methodist Church. This is the first time that they're going to showcase themselves with their own larger performance in the spring. So really excited about that. We have a guest performer for that, a guy named Jeff Stevens, who is the longtime music director at Monument Mountain Regional High School.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's a trumpet player by trade, so he's going to be featured a number of songs for that performance. But yeah, there's a lot of tunes in that program that are going to be familiar for listeners. And you know, if you really like that, you know, old time swing band, big band, 30s, 40s, 50s, that type of music, that's going to be the show for you. And the important thing too, just to share with the public about the Eagles band, all of our performances are free and open to the public.
That's exactly right.
They're free. They're open to the public. We do accept donations because there are, you know, we do have some operating expenses as well, and we need to continue. And we appreciate what people can do. But all of our performances, we don't charge. They're not ticketed. And we've also, over the years, have built a really nice relationship with Pittsfield Community Television, which has broadcasts pretty much all of our major concerts. You know, while we see Jeff Turner and Pat Gormley and so many of the volunteers that make PCTV what it is now, you'll see them in the balconies at our show operating the cameras. And for those who can't come in person or, you know, have a conflict as well, you know, a week after the show, it'll be fully edited and we'll be up on aired on television and on the website as well. So again, another great partnership that we've built as a community, just to get ourselves out there and continue music.
And you know that a plug for my station WTBR and PC, excuse me, PCTV. We have a lot of volunteers. He named a couple of them, but there's a ton of people who go to these events with staff, get everything ready, videotape everything. They edit it and we put it up online. And I will tell you, that's for a lot of folks, it's a labor of love, because it's sharing the Eagles concert. The 4th of July parade is a nightmare to put together. But they do it, and every year people rave about, especially those that aren't as fortunate as we are. And I think we need to start thinking about people like that.
Right.
People who aren't as fortunate as we are, perhaps health-wise or age-wise or whatever, to be able to get up and go to the parade. They now can watch it live. You know?
Or even those who, you know, don't live in this area as well. Yeah. Like my aunt lives in Ormond Beach, Florida, only is able to get up here about 10 days a year just due to family obligations, but loves the 4th of July parade and is able to watch it live. Thanks to the technology of Pittsfield Community Television. It's amazing.
Yeah, and my brother passed away just before Thanksgiving last year. He used to watch it all the time on TV.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm somebody who likes to. I've participated in it for many years as well. I was when I was in high school. You know, going back to music, I was in the Pittsfield High School band.
Yep.
Again, Ron Lively, just an incredible.
They should have a statue of him.
They really should. Again,
you guys never missed a Veterans Parade, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, 4th of July, 1 year, and that was because of a labor dispute. But I applaud Ron Lively. I got to get that guy on the show. He needs some credit.
I talked to him this week because I saw him in a local concert playing and just wanted to tell him that I appreciate he was filling in for helping out one of the elementary schools. So it was really nice to see him, you know, dip his toe back in and get involved. Oh, yeah. But again, a lovely, lovely man. One of the most inspirational people for me in the direction that I've gone.
Yeah.
And many others. I've also made some incredible lifelong friends in the band with him as well. But I played with him in the 4th of July parade, and that was back in the early 2000s. I know they've changed the uniforms a little bit, but back then there were these thick wool uniforms
and marching
in 90 degrees, playing the song called Another Opening, Another Show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that, but we would do that. I'm also, as many know, I was also in a past life an elected official as well and participated in the parade in that capacity. Yeah. And then 2 years ago, for my previous employer, I actually carried a balloon. I carried a balloon of Oscar the Grouch sitting in a birthday cake. Carried it down North Street. I've kind of experienced all aspects of the 4th of July. I'm debating considering trying to run in the 5K. I'm not sure I'm going to make that, but at some point that might be a reality.
I'm looking for my number. I did it. But I'll tell you, if you're going to train to run up that hill, from Wakona to North.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough.
We lost a lot of people there.
You know, I may just be content watching the great work of the Pittsfield Parade Committee and really appreciative of, you know, Rebecca Brian, who's taken over that organization. And I'm sure she's going to do a tremendous job this year, just as Peter's done for the last 20 plus years. And even before Peter, many in this community will remember
my father.
My father was a
firefighter when the firemen ran it.
Prior to Peter, it was Gary Grunin and Jim Brassard, both former city councilors. I believe both are now departed now. And before them was the late Jane Chapman, who was involved for quite some time. And again, you know, that's just talking about community organizations. That's another one. The Pittsfield Parade Committee, they operate year round.
You know, a
number of my dear friends are part of that organization. They meet monthly to do it.
Yeah, it's an ordeal it is to put that thing together. I mean, they're lining up people signing contracts now.
Absolutely, yeah. and it's not inexpensive to put together that, you know, the 2 to 2.5 hours of entertainment that you see. You know, there's a lot of organizations, bands that will come in and they need to be paid. And, you know, there's some really good ones that we get too. A number of years in the past, we've also had, drum and bugle corps competitions as they've come in, and that's helped to raise some money for the parade committee as well. Those were always awesome to see, especially when we were able to get the Sunrisers that would come in and finish off the show and usually kind of finish up the end of the parade as well. But, you know, I've been attending that, you know, since I was a kid. And
me too.
My 4th of July experience has sort of changed over the years, because now James Taylor is also a huge part of it. So, but again, you know, and it falls on a weekend this year, so it's going to be a really big, I sense a really big weekend for our city and for our community. Again, right after that is going to be opening night at Tanglewood for the Boston Symphony Orchestra. So, it's, you know, there's a lot that happens here.
And there's a lot, and the parade is the focal point, but there's so many ancillary things that you get your kids out to and do as a family. I'm on my big family kick again, because some of the research I'm doing for another book on youth, it's scary, dude. I tell parents and grandparents, there's a book that you need to read, get out of the library. It's called Anxious Generation. And it will open your eyes with facts.
Right. But for that time of year, there's a lot to do for families and children. So, You know, and there's a number of resources too that you can follow. One that's become a really vital source of information for me is the things that Downtown Pittsfield Inc. puts out. Again, Rebecca, who is the head of that organization, has really increased the communication efforts with them. So if you follow their Facebook, there's a lot of things to do for families. And, you know, if you're an older adult as well, they put things out. Again, with Cultural Pittsfield as well, with Jen Glockner, she puts out a weekly newsletter as well. They're also a tremendous communicator.
Does a great job.
Absolutely. And, you know, with all that's been going on with the revitalization of downtown, there's so many opportunities for those who love the arts, entertainment, culture, and they have a really good pulse of all the things that are going on. The jazz festival that's coming up.
Yeah.
Again, you know, as we go towards summer, that's when the Barrington stage comes alive.
I got some great shows. Colonial's got some great shows, and Shakespeare's got some great shows. I've had them all on about their seasons.
You know, we're really blessed, you know, and then you factor in organizations like the Eagles Band as well, Berkshire Concert Choir, the Stockbridge Symphonia, all again, organizations sort of in the mold of what the Eagles Band does. People who like to perform, they don't necessarily do it for a living. There might be some music teachers in there, retired music teachers, but people who just love to play, love to sing, and love to play for an audience. I mean, there's so many opportunities to do that as well throughout, you know, particularly during the summer is when we all tend to be the busiest, but even year round as well. I mean, the Eagles Band, we start performing for the public in April and we'll go right through till just a couple of weeks before Christmas is when we have our holiday concerts. So, you know, if you enjoy those things, that's great. But if you're somebody who plays an instrument or sings or performs, like, there's so many opportunities to be able to do something. Again, if you're somebody who is part of, who likes to perform, you know, the Town Players Organization, again, just like the others that I just mentioned, has gone back for decades. My mother back in the 1970s and 80s performed through that organization when Bob Bolan was the director of that.
Bob Bolan.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, if that's something that you like to do, there's an opportunity here. If you like to play trombone, come join the Eagles Band.
Before we run, I was going to try out for the Berkshire Concert Choir, and they had me removed. Something about not being able to hold a note with a bucket.
That does tend to be a requirement for some of these.
I can't thank you enough, Josh. And for all the people, I hope this helped you open your vision, your hearts to understand other people. This is Passover. This is Easter. We're closing off Ramadan. Don't be so judgmatic. Life's too short. And I say this every day. I have to do this or I won't get into heaven. And there's a strong possibility of that not happening anyhow. St. Mary's School Bingo. Join us on the following dates. April the 12th, May the 10th, June the 14th, St. Mary's School, Orchard Street in Lee. Doors open at 12:30. And boy, it's a full bingo situation there. I wish them the very best. I think the world of them. I try to promote them. Also, if you have any questions about that, you can call 413-243-1079. Also, one near and dear to my heart, Friday, May the 23rd, it's Soldier On Golf Tournament. You can, it's really... It will help. You can call 413-207-4746. Thanks, Josh. And all I can tell you is you're always there for me, and I appreciate that, and we share a lot. One last thing before we go. On Monday, the 31st, I returned 55 years ago from Vietnam. So it's a special day for me. And I will be enjoying it.
And Bill, thank you for your service.
And thinking of all those who didn't come back with me. They will be forever 19. God bless, Josh. God bless, everyone. Please, today, lift somebody's spirits and let's try to take care of each other. Each other. That's all we have. Talk to you, bro. Give James my love.
And my love to Roseanne, too. Thanks, Bill.
You bet, buddy. Thank you.